CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
John W. Newbern said, "People can be divided into three groups: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who make things happen. Our first playmaker is a serial entrepreneur with more than 15 startups. Our next playmaker began by buying and selling items to friends in elementary and middle school. With us today is a CEO of a company that is the founder and chairman of a staffing agency and also developed an educational incubator teaching children in grades 1 through 12 computer programming and robotics. Our next CEO turned his garage business into a 30,000 square foot superstore. These great playmakers are Abed Abedi. Abed is CEO of iCode, and Richard Bell. Richard is CEO of The Boss. And we're going to begin today's show with Richard. The Boss, or Bargain Outlet Superstore, was founded by Richard Bell in 2008 in the garage of his two-bedroom home and has developed into a 30,000-square-foot superstore and showroom. Headquartered in Dallas, The Boss is a home improvement outlet superstore that sells to the pros but is also open to the public. In fact, The Boss is the only pro supplier in Dallas-Fort Worth that offers contractor discounts to the public. The Boss buys directly from the manufacturer and passes the deep discounts to their customer. The Boss offers a huge supply of flooring and home improvement supplies, such as cabinets, countertops, faucets, vanities, toilets, door hardware, and moldings. A lot to talk about there. Richard, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about your beginnings out of your garage, as I mentioned. But before that, let's talk about how your business really started by you selling CDs to pawn shops at a profit. Tell us how that came
to
be.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny deal that there was a local music store where I grew up in East Texas that had a whole bunch of closeout used CDs that they were selling for 99 cents. Well, I knew from some previous selling some old CDs at the pawn shop will give you $2. So basically,
double your money.
Yeah, that's right. So I would go down to the music store that they wanted to get rid of these things. So I'd go in there and buy as many as they had, and take them across town to the pawn shop and double my money right there.
Did they ever catch on to what you were doing?
No, they sure didn't. And you know, I remember some people say, "Well, how can you do that?" I said, "Well, these guys are selling it for this. These guys are offering that. I'm bringing value to both parties." So I thought I was doing a service and making some profit in the meantime as well.
Well, they're making money too by selling those 99. Paying you $2, and you're making profit over
$2
too.
That's right. So the ultimate win-win situation. I liked it.
Everybody's happy. Even the person that ended up buying the CD was happy at a lower price. Yep. I want to talk about The Boss in just a moment, but you've had an interesting move toward this. You've worked with a number of companies. You're in the buy-sell business. You understand the art of the deal. But you also have a passion for auto racing, and that kind of moved in that direction. So how did that happen at the age of 19?
Well, just that was something that I was exposed to through my father. Good or bad, don't have a great relationship with my father, but I thank him every day for exposing me to hot rods and race cars. And never was a really good student, and figured out really quick whenever I was asked to leave junior college in my first semester that maybe college isn't for me. And trying to figure out what to do, I figured I'd seize the opportunity to get a job on a professional race car team. And
that's a job of a lifetime.
It really is. It really is. And I went to Memphis, Tennessee to the national event that they had there, typed out a little resume. Of course, I didn't have any experience, but just wanted something that that they could hold on to that had all my contact information, and went to every professional race team there. And this one guy, Chuck Harris, who's from Massachusetts, said, "You know what, kid? It's your lucky day. Just had a guy quit, and I need you in Brainerd, Minnesota next week at the next race." Set up there and went to Brainerd and finished out the year with him. And then he retired, but put in a recommendation with another team, and I spent the next 3 years with them. And It was a situation that I saw real quick that after you travel the circuit three or four times, you've kind of seen and done it all. And so I knew that either I need to stay on the circus and make a living as a professional race car crew chief, or go out and start a business and own my own race car. So,
well, you found, you also met somebody that was a team owner that was in the pallet business, that, again, because of racing, now is moving you even closer to the boss. What happened there?
Yeah, it's funny how it is a very twisted path, but it all makes sense. So the guy that I spent the 3 years with was a fellow named Pete Williams that had a wooden pallet business that allowed him to have a professional race car team. So the pallet business, he didn't have any sponsors.
That funded his racing.
Correct. So whenever I'm working on this race car team and I see that here's a guy spending $500,000 a year for a hobby, I'm saying I'm in the wrong business. And so ultimately, he got to the point where he was going to retire. And rather than go out and pursue another team to work for, I said, Pete, teach me the pallet business. So I spent the next little bit under his guidance. And also that last year that we were racing, during the breaks in between races, I was working at the pallet business. And, you know, the ultimate goal was for me to go back home to Longview, to East Texas, and get in the pallet business, and that's what I did.
And you eventually, that moved into standard trading, which you were working out of your home.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell you that at the time, it was pretty devastating, but essentially, the pallet business failed. I operated it for 2 years, which looking back was quite a feat for somebody who was in their early 20s and had no clue what they were doing and grossly underfunded, and ultimately had to declare bankruptcy. So here I am, you know, 23, 24 years old. All my friends are getting out of college, going to work for Goldman Sachs, going to work for all these corporate companies. And here I am, broke, living with my mom, and bankrupt. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. And it was obviously devastating at the time. But, you know, on a side note, thank goodness I got that out of the way, because a lot of people experience that type of deal much later in life. So you know, it was tough. Bounced back. I went to work for one of my lumber suppliers that was supplying me with lumber for the pallets as a salesperson. And a great opportunity, a fine company that I'm still a customer of today that you know, we'll buy some various things from them as needed and, you know, think very highly of them. But during that time with the lumber company, I was selling lumber, and they had a dedicated purchasing department, and the purchasing department hated me because I was always going in there saying, hey, I need a quote for plywood. And they said, okay, well, it's this amount. I said, well, how many mills did you call? Oh, we just called one. I said, no, you need to call about a dozen, and let's just
make
sure.
You were creating more work for them.
Yeah. And they didn't like it. And so I left there and went to work for another lumber brokerage company that not only did you sell, but you bought your own materials. So that really fit my style a lot better, that, you know, if I wanted to spend the next 2 hours calling every sawmill in America, figuring out the best deal, I had that option. And the one thing that I saw through working with those large brokerage companies, and both companies were, you know, 100-plus million-dollar companies, very successful, just, you know, ran a clean program. But what I saw were guys, surrounded by guys that were, you know, anywhere from 45 to 60 years old, making good six-figure incomes, have a pretty cush job, all things considered, a stay-at-home mom, have a few kids, starting to go to college, maybe a few in college, and they were a slave to the company, that they had this lifestyle that they could not sacrifice, you know, 6 months to a year to build a business. And so, you know, I told my wife, who was a vice president at a big advertising agency here in Dallas, that we don't have kids. We can live very comfortably off your income. This is the time to do it.
Well, let's talk about the boss. In the few minutes we have left, that's the Bargain Outlet Superstore on Merrill Road, west of Stemmons. Talk about that. Talk about what you have there. We now know how you got there, but what do you have there for the pros and for the public?
Yeah, so we sell flooring, all sorts of flooring, every type of flooring you could imagine. Do big business with cabinets. Also have your various trim moldings, faucets, doorknobs. Shoot, we even gotten pretty big into to fence pickets. I'm leaving out tomorrow to go to Nashville to the fence association trade show, and so we've looked up and just developed this huge following of pros and you know people that make their living using flooring and home improvement items. So have a huge following of contractors, installers, and then have a real big following of real estate investors. So house flippers, landlords, and that type of stuff. And every time I turn around, we seem to get more builder business in there.
Well, you've mentioned in some of what I've read, deep discounts. Mm-hmm. What's an example of something, a deal they can get from the boss?
Well, we buy from all the big manufacturers that you've heard. That you know their names, and you know there was an opportunity a while back. Everybody's heard of Shaw Flooring that they have some material that you know sells for a little over $7 a square foot retail, and they had an opportunity that they had some excess for us to go in and buy a couple truckloads of that, and you know we're selling that for about $3.50 a square foot, so you know over half savings. And so you know whenever you start talking about doing a whole house of 2,000 square foot and saving $3.50 a square foot,
you're talking about a little bit of money.
That's a hunk of change. So for the consumer, it's awesome. And then for the investor, that's pure profit.
That's right. So they can fix up that piece of property very little, flip it, and make a little bit more money on it.
Yeah, yeah. And,
with the help of the boss.
And also be able to tout, you know, hey, this has, you know, extremely high-end flooring.
Well, since you have one location, tell everybody where you are and how they can get to you.
Yeah, so we are off of 35 in between Walnut Hill and Royal. So you can see us from Stemmons. And the best way to get to us is to, whether you're going north or south, exit Royal Lane and get on the southbound access road and take a left at Merrill. And you can't miss us. Just look for the big beaver.
The beaver there and the colors, which are yellow and red. Tell me how to find you on the internet.
Our website is shoptheboss.com.
And again, BOSS stands for Bargain Outlet Superstore, shoptheboss.com. And your hours?
We are open 7:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, and then 8 to 4 on Saturdays and closed on Sundays.
Well, Richard, that is fantastic. You can also get all that information on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Richard Bell is the CEO of The Boss, and you can get his information from shoptheboss.com. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk computer coding, computer programming, and robotics with the CEO of iCode. His name is Abed Abedi. We'll be back with Abed right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. We're glad to have you with us. And we're here now with Abed Abedi. He is the CEO of iCode. As the founder and chairman of a staffing agency, Abeta Betty saw a need to help fill the gap for STEM careers through a holistic learning program. He partnered with some key individuals and created iCode, an educational incubator with classes in the evenings and weekends teaching children in grades 1 through 12 computer programming and robotics. Abeta is a serial entrepreneur with more than 15 startups in technology, wireless services, IT consulting, staffing services, real estate development, and education in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. His companies include Managed Staffing, Scarlet Wireless, Rosewood Academy, Nectar Incorporated, Plano, Parkway Investments, and most recently, iCode. And again, iCode is an after-school and weekend program that offers, as I mentioned, the STEM education to students through 12th grade, immersing them in high-tech surroundings as they learn computer programming skills, in addition to learning concepts in the fields of robotics and computer science. A lot to talk about. Abed, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
This is really intriguing. There's a lot of questions I have, but to begin with, how did you see a need in the market for coding education for these kids?
I think just if you, you know, I have three daughters and seeing them grow and the type of stuff they do, and some of the time they ask me questions and I don't know since I'm not very technical. And I felt that, you know, there are other parents who have probably similar challenges as I do. And the idea actually came from a friend of mine, Rashmi Mukherjee, who's one of the co-founders. And she was telling me that, you know, she's bringing a group of her kids' friends at home and teaching them programming. I thought, you know what? That would be awesome to kind of get away with all the frustration that parents have who doesn't have experience in, on the technology front. So that's how iCode sort of got started.
As we were talking before the show started, I said that I need to go in that program. So you need to have a course for adults to learn what these kids are learning because they'd probably be lower than them. We're going to come back to iCode in a moment. But as I mentioned in the introduction, you have a number of companies. And I guess people now are calling you a serial entrepreneur. How did all that happen?
You know, one other thing I've realized earlier on is, you know, if you work for somebody, you get paid X amount. And for them to continue to employ you, they have to make more money than what they're paying you. That's the only reason why you'll be employed. Otherwise, you're fired. And the last time I look at it, at the company I was working for, they were not my relatives or friends. So I'm making people, other people money. I thought, why don't I do that for myself? But more importantly, I think, you know, from the beginning, when I came here to the States, you know, I had to pay for my own tuition education. And I've been doing different businesses all the way from the age of 17 while still in college. So that's something that was ingrained in me from the beginning. And as I, when I got married, I told my wife, you know, that as soon as she will finish her schools, I will start and quit my job. And that's exactly what I did back in 96. And since then, as I said, about 15 plus companies since 1996.
Well, we were talking before about, just before the show started, about being naive and getting into it because you're not a programmer. You don't know coding. You don't know technology. And some of your companies are technical. And one of the keys, I think, believe you mentioned we were talking before, is hiring the right people that know more than you do.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, there are a lot of folks who don't hire people that are smarter because they feel threatened. And they have their own insecurities. And that's the reason I think people don't hire people that are smarter than them. I'm secure in my own abilities and capabilities, and I always look for people that are smarter than me because I could learn something from them. And, you know, I haven't found a way to succeed without people around me being successful. So when I hire people, I tell people, look, my job is to make you successful. Okay, there's nobody in this world right now that wants to make you more successful than me because through you, my success will come about. So tell me, what do I need to do to make you successful? And that's basically what it is. I think hiring people that are smarter than you yourself, empowering them, giving them the freedom to do, and let them make mistakes. Because the second you stop sort of jumping on people for making mistakes, you're going to quit. You know, you're not going to have people going to take the next step to do it. So I'm perfectly okay, perfectly comfortable with people making mistakes, as long as they don't make the mistake again and again.
Well, you're learning from them, and they're learning from you.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Abeta Betty. He is the founder and CEO of iCode. It's called iCode. The website is iCodeInc.com. You need to go there and take a look at this fascinating new program for kids from first grade to 12th in terms of how they can learn all this information. What I'm intrigued about, because my background is martial arts through Taekwondo, getting up to a third degree black belt, if I can talk about myself there for a second. But you've developed the same thing through in iCode. Talk about how the kids progress through white belt all the way up to masters or experts.
You know, teaching kids is not the same as teaching adults, right? And so as Rashmi and I were sort of talking, discussing iCode, and actually Rashmi's idea, you know what, let's do it belt. So kids can relate to it very easily. They see the progress that you're making. So we have seven belts, white to black, as you said, Steve. And the kids enter at white if you're in the elementary school, red if you are in the middle school. There you go. That's how much I know about
it. Right. It's on the website, too, I bet, or iCode, inc.com.
But basically, within each sprint, each belt, there are eight sprints. Each sprint is about 4 weeks long, and each sprint is a concept. So a kid, by the time he graduates, he or she graduates, will cover eight different sort of topics within each belt, and they progress from one belt to another belt, and that's how the progression happens. And they wear Leonard with the color of the belt so they could proudly display, you know, I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm blue. So it's kind of fun for the kids.
Oh, absolutely. I remember one class I had in college where the teacher let us progress at our own pace, but we knew what we had to work on. And that's what you're doing for these kids, too. They know what
exactly
they have to do to progress and get the next belt. That must be exciting for them.
It's very exciting. Also, the campus is very much like a Google lookalike. So kids, when they come in, you know, they're really excited about the hardware that's there, just the facility that's there that promotes them to be very creative, and kids have a great time there.
For those who would like to check it out, where is your academy located?
It's 4577 Ohio in Frisco, right, pretty close to Preston and Lebanon.
Easy to find. What's that address one more time?
4577 Ohio Drive
in Frisco. I mentioned before STEM education, and STEM is STEM. Tell everybody what that stands for.
STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and maths. That's the acronym. Also something called STEAM, which A stands for arts. But if you think about it, Steve, in terms of how fast we're progressing on technology, and you and I were talking about earlier about, you know, kids are born with an iPhone or a smartphone in their hand, and the way things are changing, the IoT, the Internet of the Things, as even the house are getting more wired with different sort of stuff. You know, the normal sort of education system doesn't really, I think, you know, educate the kids in terms of challenges that lie ahead, the speed of the progress that the society is making, the type of jobs that we'll be creating in the future. Without understanding technologies, kids will be at a huge disadvantage. And, you know, this is something that in the U.S., I always tell people from an education perspective, if you look at Europe, if you look at Asia, they're much, much ahead of this. So facilities like iCode doesn't exist in the U.S., but if you look at Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, U.K., these type of educational opportunities do exist for kids. I think it's very important that here in the U.S., we need to educate the kids so we are developing kids who are more able to add value and understand technology and get good jobs as they progress in life.
Well, a number of school systems have magnet schools.
Yes.
Where kids can focus on a specific subject or topic, but you're opening this up to any child, first through 12th grade.
Absolutely, because, I mean, once again, you know, if you look at the schools, first of all, the way the teaching is taking place, you know, it's very in a traditional way. A lot of schools, you know, don't want iPads, don't want, you know, phones. Well, that's how kids are learning, if you think about it. So I think there's a lot of ways that I think the education system has to go to sort of go towards the new economy or the new technology or the new sort of era that we are entering. And it's very difficult for transition because, you know, it is very expensive to put in those hardware. It is expensive to bring on teachers who could teach technology. So I think, you know, iCode is one-stop small way that I feel that we're adding value to the society here in North Texas.
Well, if you're doing this after school, I'm sure the kids will can't wait to get out of school to go to their next school.
It is the parents of all the parents tell me that, you know, that's the only thing that they don't have to drag the kids. Actually, the kids are dragging the parents to bring them to iCode.
Well, they don't think they're learning,
yeah,
but they are.
Absolutely.
They're just having fun.
They're having fun. It's a lot of practical because, you know, you cannot make a kid sit down for an hour and sort of put theory at them. I mean, that just doesn't work. So a lot of it is, you know, we the kids attend 2 hours of classes and 2 hours of lab. Within that 1 hour, they're spending half an hour in the lab. So there's a lot of hands-on knowledge. I mean, a lot of people say, Abed, I mean, my kid didn't need to learn programming. Well, I mean, if you think about it, what programming teaches a kid, critical thinking ability, right? Organizational skill, working in a team environment. So it's just not the programming language, but I think it is the other things that are more important than actually the language in itself, where I think what the kids is excited about learning and I think is helping them grow. And I think an education such as what ICO does helps kids in other areas at school as well, so not just sort of learning programming language.
Well, I think they're learning how to communicate more effectively through
Absolutely.
This. They're learning how to work with other people. They got their friends involved with this too. There's so much more going on. But before we finish, I want to talk about one thing I think is going to be in the future for you, and that's going to be franchising this concept. What are your plans for that, and how will that work?
You know, it's a concept that I think lends itself to be franchised very effectively and efficiently. So the plan is I'm working with a franchise consultant to kind of put a plan together. As, you know, there are a lot of parents. I mean, I've listened to about at least 12-plus parents or other people who have expressed an interest in franchising this thing. I can't possibly open, you know, all these facilities. And some of the people, in South Lake, for instance, or from Irving, from McKinney, they're driving about 45 minutes from Salina, actually, driving just to drop the kids off. So there's a tremendous sort of interest expressed by a lot of the parents who are in business themselves say, look, is there something that we could franchise? And I hope that next year or, you know, yeah, next year that we should be able to franchise it.
One of the things I highly recommend for anybody listening that has children, grandchildren that are in between first and 12th grade to take a look at the website. So tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about iCode.
The website, Steve, is iCodeInc.com. A lot of the information is there. All the belts are listed there. What we teach within those belts are listed there. Very informative website. As you said, there's some amazing team. And you look at the background. Because one other thing is, you know, what kind of people do you have that are teaching there? And we want to make sure that, you know, people can look at the bios to see the very qualified people who are teaching these kids.
The other thing I'll end with was the fact that it's amazingly inexpensive for the students to go to this. Abed, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. Enjoyed it.
Abed Abidi is the founder and chairman of staffing aging agency Managed Staffing, also the founder of iCode. Check it out again at iCodeInc.com. This has been a terrific show. I'd like to thank my guests again, as we just heard, Richard Bell, CEO of The Boss, and Abed Abedi is CEO of iCode. It's great having you with us on our show. Thank you to our guests. Join us at Playmakers Talk Show, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.